You'll turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 14. This is God's Word. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out from there a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. He threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. Thus Shimei said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head. But the king said, what hath I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord has told him. Perhaps the Lord will look upon my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. So David and his men went out on their way, and Shimei went along on the hillside parallel with him, and as he went he cursed and cast stones and threw dust at him. The king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there.
2 Samuel chapter 16. Well, tonight, we come face to face with the price of sin in David's life. God makes the price of sin very expensive to keep us from sinning. Now, scholars disagree on how old David is at this point, but I believe David is in his early 60s in this chapter. His effectiveness as a leader has been going down ever since his affair with Bathsheba, which is his eighth wife, by the way. But while David's influence has been going down, his son Absalom's is going up. And his son is now in his early 30s. So David is running from his son, who is trying to take over the kingdom. And I want you to notice as we go through this chapter that David is very passive as he runs from his son. David is viewing this whole situation as a test of where he stands with the Lord. Now, maybe you've heard the saying, trouble comes in threes. Have you ever heard that? Trouble comes in threes. That's what we see tonight. First of all, we're going to see that David has three enemies that we deal with in this chapter. So we are going to meet three different enemies of David. Now, our story presents David in what appears to be a helpless situation. And then the chapter ends with no deliverance in sight. So let me ask you, I think there are times in your life when you are faced with situations just like that. You're faced with difficult situations that appear to have no end in sight, no deliverance in sight. So at this point, is David's reign over? Has his son won? Has evil won? Well, David's first enemy that we're going to meet tonight is Ziba. Now, here's the problem as we meet Ziba. Problem number one, a weakened believer is deceived. A weakened believer is deceived. When you stand for something and you've been through a lot and you've been beaten down, you will look for help anywhere you can find it. And at that point, you are open to being deceived. So I thought, okay, David has a problem. David's in trouble. But what exactly do those words mean? So I looked it up. Trouble. A state of distress. Affliction. Danger. Problem. A situation that presents uncertainty and difficulty. Now that's exactly where David is tonight. And there are times in your life when you will be there and I will be there. But sometimes in life, it will appear as if the devil has won. Even in the Bible. Think of Esther. Think of Ruth. Think of the death of Jesus Christ. Well, let's meet David's first enemy. Let's meet Ziba. Verse 1, please, of chapter 16. Now when David had passed a little beyond the summit, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a jug of wine. The king said to Ziba, "Why do you have these?" And Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for whoever is faint in the wilderness to drink." Then the king said, "And where is your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said today, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" So the king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." And Ziba said, "I prostrate myself, let me find favor in your sight, O my lord the king." So David is running again. But this time he isn't a young man. David's about 60 years old or so. Bathsheba and Solomon are probably with him as he's running. Now David makes a quick decision, and we've all done that. He accepts Ziba's statement, and he's wrong. Ziba is lying. Now David is now dealing with the first of two evil men. But their approach to David is very, very different. And David responds in two different ways. Ziba tries to get what he wants from David by using flattery. Ziba acts in an improper, unspiritual way. And maybe you've heard the statement, "Flattery will get you nowhere." Have you heard that? I've heard that from time to time. Well, Ziba thinks it will. And it almost worked. Proverbs has a lot of insight for us on this situation. Let me just read to you Proverbs 18:13. "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." We must always be alert. We must always be on guard. David is tired. He is weak. He is discouraged. And he's open to attack. He makes a decision based on incomplete information. He's only heard one side of the story. So let's look at some lessons that we can learn from David and Ziba. Number one, flattery is an effective tool. It can work. It worked for a while with David and Ziba, and it's also sin. Number two, it's hypocrisy. It's deceit. Now, we Christians must never, never use it. Let me read to you from John chapter 7, please. John 7, 24, where we read these words. "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." So David is moved by Ziba's generous gift, by what appears to be kindness and grace. Ziba appears to be taking a very big risk to publicly stand up and side with David. Ziba is a hypocrite, and he lies about Mephibosheth. So David uses bad judgment here. Next lesson, number three. The Bible requires two or more witnesses to prove a charge against someone. Let me just give you one scripture. Deuteronomy 19, 15, we read, "A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed." Even if your best friend tells you something, you must wait and hear both sides of the situation before you make a judgment. Next, number four, David jumps to a conclusion, and he was wrong in doing so. So make sure that your view of others is biblical. Be careful of motives, because we can't judge motives. God doesn't ask you to judge someone's motive, and God won't let you. The Lord will not let you judge someone's heart. Now, there are things that we can judge. We can judge their words. We can judge their deeds. When the elders excommunicate someone from the church, we are saying, based on their words, based on the evidence, based on the deeds, we are placing them outside of the visible church. But we can't judge someone's heart. We might be wrong. We don't know. Only God knows their heart. We can't make that decision. So we can just say, based on what we see, based on what we're dealing, if you don't repent of this situation, we do not see Christian behavior in your life. All right, David's enemy number two. Let's meet Shimei. Now, here's the problem with Shimei. The enemies of God curse the children of God. The enemies of God curse the children of God. When someone who has stood up for the cause of Christ and the cause of God is in a weakened position, those who represent evil become very, very bold. Now, we're praying for the upcoming election in this country, and I see that happening in this country. We are in a weakened position in a lot of different areas, and evil is becoming very, very bold. We have Russia invading Ukraine. On and on we could go. And the church itself today in this country is weak. And I'm very thankful that the church is getting stronger and stronger in Asia. It's getting stronger in China. It's getting stronger in India. And I praise the Lord for that. And I pray that we'll have a revival here, and I hope that they will pray for us that we'll have a revival here. All right, verse 5, please. "When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out from there a man of the family of Gera, house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. He threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right and at his left. Thus Shimei said when he cursed, 'Get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed.'" So Shimei calls David a man of blood and a worthless man. Now, how would you like it if someone called you a worthless woman or a man of blood? Now, Shimei is wrong, and God is going to judge him for that. Read Romans 13, 1 and 2. But Shimei is saying cruel, cutting things to David. Watch your tongue, Christian. Be careful with your tongue, because once you say something, you can't take it back. And even though we have free speech in this country, we aren't free, as Christians anyway, to say anything we want to. Whether you approve of President Obama or you don't approve of President Obama, as Christians, we are not free to say just anything that we want to about our leaders. Shimei has a bitter spirit. He has a hard, cold heart. Again, going back to Proverbs 24, verse 17. "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles." All right, now with that in mind, look at verse 8 again in our text. Speaking to David. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom in the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. That is a false charge, folks. It isn't true. But it's the real world. There are going to be times in your life when you are going to stand up for Jesus Christ as a Christian, and people are going to throw false charges at you, and even use the name of God sometimes in doing it. Verse 9. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head." But the king said, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so?" Now, Zeruiah shows us how the world responds to its enemies. David shows us how a Christian responds to his enemies. We see the response of an unconverted heart, and we see the response of a converted heart that has been changed and filled with the Holy Spirit. We see the fruit of the Spirit in David. We see self-control. Now, David is down. He's discouraged. Shimei kicks him when he's down. He's rejoicing in David's grief. Notice, David doesn't get mad. He isn't offended. He doesn't take it personal. Now, how can David do that? It's because of the fruit of the Spirit. After all that David has been through, it has produced in David what Chuck Swindoll calls a soft heart and thick skin. A soft heart and thick skin. Another way I heard it years ago was a hand of steel inside of a velvet glove. So I want to ask you, do you have a soft heart and thick skin? And I'm going to say something now that could probably get me, somebody might not approve of this, but it is the truth. With that in mind, soft heart, thick skin. Most of us are just too sensitive. Most of us are too easily offended. Take it another step. If you are easily offended, it probably means that you haven't been through a lot. David has been through a lot. It's another reason why we want elders and deacons to be older men, because they've been through a lot. You are going to meet people like Shimei. You're going to meet them at school. You're going to meet them at work. And sad to say, you will even meet them in the Christian church. But if you don't have a soft heart and thick skin, you won't be used by the Lord very long. Because you'll be offended, you'll be leaving, and your ministry will be through. So the next time you meet Shimei, you have a choice to make. Are you going to be offended when it happens? Now, verse 11 shows us David's reaction, but it also shows us David's heart. Look at 11. Then David said to Abishai and all his servants, "Behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him." Now, folks, that's amazing. Don't just buzz over this. If someone was throwing stones, real stones at you, or words that hurt, and they're cursing you, can you say this? Could you say what David is saying? David's heart is broken, yet he is able to look beyond Shimei. He's able to look beyond the false charges and see God. Even with a broken heart, he's able to see the Lord in the middle of this terrible trial in his life. David doesn't focus on who is cursing him. David's focus is on the Lord who allowed Shimei to curse him. Verse 12. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. Now think about this. We've met two different men. David handles Shimei's curses better than he does Ziba's flattery. He made a bad decision in his reaction to Ziba. He made a good decision as he responds to Shimei's curses. So David says, if I put up with this man's cursing, maybe the Lord will show me mercy. Besides, I have bigger problems than Shimei. My own son's trying to kill me. So David shows self-control, and he remembers his own sin. Now here's the lesson for us, or one of the lessons for us here in this section. Submit to God's providence in your life. Submit to God's providence in your life. The Lord knows our hearts. The Lord can throw real charges at us that are true. Shimei is honest. He hates David, and he lets everyone know. He curses David. He throws stones at David. So let me ask you a question. Which of these two men do you think is the most dangerous? Think about it. Which of the two men do you think is the most dangerous? Ziba or Shimei? Matthew Henry said this, "The world's smiles are more dangerous than its frowns." The world's smiles are more dangerous than its frowns. Shimei's charges humble David. Now, David knows a powerful truth. David knows that we all need to be humbled. Let me say that again. We all need to be humbled. Every one of us. Everyone in this room. You, me. David is suffering unjustly, but he keeps his mouth shut. So before you criticize someone else, examine your own heart. It may cause you to be quiet. Shimei is a servant of Satan right now. Let me read what one man said about this situation with David and Shimei. "David never rose to greater heights than when he allowed Shimei to go on attacking him." Now think about all that David's been through, the high points in his life, when he would not kill King Saul, and what a testimony that was to each and every one of us. But yet this man says David never rose to greater heights than when he allowed Shimei to go on attacking him. So David accepts Shimei as if what Shimei is doing is from God himself. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32:35. "Vengeance is mine. In due time, their foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are happening and hastening upon them." All right, let's look at some lessons we can learn from David and Shimei. David showed grace to Shimei for three reasons. Number one, what Shimei is doing may be from the Lord. Now, God isn't the author of sin, but the Lord may be using Shimei. In fact, I believe he definitely is. The Lord is using Shimei to humble David. So David says, "I won't get mad at Shimei because I'm a sinner, and I'm guilty of more things than Shimei will ever know of." Now, David here can help you put your problems in their proper perspective. David says, in light of everything I'm dealing with, Shimei is small potatoes. Lesson number two. David says, maybe if I handle Shimei the right way, the Lord will bless me. The Lord will show me grace. The Lord will give me mercy. And he goes on to say, I will let God deal with Shimei. And we all need to get to that point where we can let the Lord deal with the Shimeis in our life. God is using Shimei to humble David. Not only to humble David. The Lord is using Shimei to humble David before the entire world. Now let me ask you, are you willing to be humbled this way? Are you willing to be humbled in front of the entire world? Alright, let's look at the differences between Shimei and David. Start with Shimei. People like Shimei are common in your life. Shimei has an uncontrolled tongue. But as Christians, we aren't free to say anything we want to. We see foul language coming out of Shimei's mouth. It amazes me how many Christians I talk to who think it's okay to use curse words. I deal with it all the time. They think it's okay. And I've even been told, I have not experienced it myself, but I've been told this by many different people, that there are pastors in this country standing up in front of thousands of people who are using curse words in their message because they want to relate to the guy in the chair. Well, those men should be fired. We see no forgiveness in Shimei. We see an evil heart in the man. We see a guy who's seeking revenge. What do we see in David? We see godliness. David has the mighty men with him. One word from David, and Shimei is a dead man. But we see that David is sensitive to his own sin. So instead of listening to Shimei, David is listening to the Lord. When you are mistreated, it may not be as bad as you first think it is. How you handle it may be the means to bring God's blessing on your life. I read to you from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It isn't your job and it isn't my job to right every wrong that's been done to you. We see that David humbly accepts this, and what we see on that in that is a sign of spiritual maturity in David's life. Today, we want our rights, we want our pound of flesh, we want to get even, we want to make someone pay. And Jesus said, put your sword away, Peter. You aren't very good at it. Back in our text, 16. Verse 14. Let's start with 12. So David and his men went on the way, and Shimei went along on the hillside parallel with him, and as he went, he cursed and cast stones and threw dust at him. The king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. Now this has been one of the darkest days in David's life. Now let's review what's happened to David since he got up on this eventful day. Number one, his son Absalom has turned against him and tried to murder him. Number two, he's been run out of his own palace. He's been cursed. He's been attacked with stones. He's traveled more than 12 miles, mostly on foot. So let me ask you, how's your day going? All right, let's meet David's third enemy. It's his own son, Absalom. And at this point, evil moves into a position of power. Absalom is on the throne. Another way of putting it, the fox is in the hen house. So David's third enemy, his son, well, look at verse 15. Then Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, entered Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. Now, David's most faithful advisor, Ahithophel, has turned against David and is now with his son. Do you have any idea why he turned against David? Well, Don Strickland reminded me, I had forgotten, but Don Strickland reminded me last week, Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. I wonder why he turned against David. Verse 16. Now it came about when Husha the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Husha said to Absalom, "Long live the king, long live the king." Now remember, he is David's man that David asked to go back into the city, back into the palace, and basically be a spy for David. And he says, "Long live the king, long live the king." Well, which king? David or Absalom? It's a very wise statement on his part. Verse 17, Absalom said to Husha, "Is this your loyalty to your friend?" And he can say, "Well, yes, it is. It's my friend David." Verse 18, then Husha said to Absalom, "No, for whom the Lord, this people, and all the men of Israel have chosen, his I will be, and with him I will remain." Now, that's a very wise answer on this man's part. Absalom moves into Jerusalem. He has a lot of success. He moves in quickly. He moves in so quickly and so easily that once he gets there, he doesn't know what to do. So now he's seeking the advice of others, and he leans on Husha, which is David's man. Verse 19. "Besides, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in your father's presence, so I will be in your presence." Now, we're going to get Ahithophel's advice to Absalom in just a moment. Verse 20. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give your advice. What shall we do?" 21. Ahithophel said to Absalom, now listen to this, focus on this, because it's very important. See if you've heard this before. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself odious to your father. The hands of all who are with you will also be strengthened." So now this marks a point of no return between David and his son. But the good news is, Husha, David's man, is now in Absalom's inner circle. And there will always be people like Ahithophel in your life. So let's look at his advice. His advice to David's son is smart, it's practical, and it's without any biblical foundation whatsoever. It was sinful advice to help his son accomplish his goal. My advice to you, sleep with David's wives. Sleep with the concubine. It was a capital offense. If you do that, David will never forgive you. All right, verse 22. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. So for Absalom now, there's no turning back. We might put it this way. He's burning bridges. This coup will now run its course. But it also fulfills a verse that I have been reading to you over and over again. Listen now again to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11. Thus says the Lord to David, "Behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun." So David is now reaping what he has sown. Absalom's followers put up a tent on top of the palace on the roof for his son, the very palace where David first lusted after Bathsheba. Absalom now commits the same sin his father did, but his sin is in public. David did it with one woman, and his son is now going to do it with many. David did it when it was a secret, and now his son is doing it in public, and as I've said before many, many times, be careful, Dad, because your children will master your sin. If you have a temper, don't be surprised when your children grow up and have a temper. Your children are going to master your sin, and we see that here. All right, now in closing, let me ask you some questions. Have you ever been betrayed? How did it make you feel? Doesn't feel good, does it? David knows what it's like to be betrayed. Do you see the Lord in your greatest disappointment? Do you see the Lord in your greatest failure? David gives us a model of how to handle betrayal. David is a type of Christ. And as I'm studying through this series, it's just occurring to me more and more that I need to do a better job in this series. I don't need to just develop the text that we have here. I need to take you a step beyond that, and I need to point you to Jesus Christ on a regular basis. And David is a type of Christ. Do you see Christ in David? Jesus Christ suffered. The iniquity of all of us was placed on him. Jesus didn't deserve any of the abuse that he received. How did he handle it compared to David? We see that Christ in David. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Christ endured one attack after another, boom, 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 knowing that God would make it right. Now, many times when we are going through hard times, we may think this. Or if you're a Christian and you're a committed Christian, you're probably not going to say it, but you may think it. God doesn't love me. Look what the Lord is allowing to happen to me. But here's what we mean. We want to decide how God must show his love to us. David saw the Lord's hand in the tragedy, in the tears, in the disappointments of his life. And he showed grace to others who afflicted him. One last verse. Hebrews chapter 12, and then I'm through. Hebrews 12, 15, we read, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. Beware of bitterness, Christian. Bitterness is a sign of weak faith. David wasn't bitter. Jesus Christ wasn't bitter. Both of them are our example in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Beware of bitterness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great example that we find in David tonight. Now we know why he's called David the Great. And tonight, he is David the Great. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will apply this to our life in such a way that this week we will live differently for you, that we will guard our hearts against bitterness, and when someone attacks us with words or deeds, whatever it may be, that we will handle the situation like David handled Shimei, and then we will pray and say, Lord, would you please bless us because of the way that we're handling that. And we can only handle it that way through the Holy Spirit. So we ask for the help and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.